our mindset is trying to win at all costs. I said, run, hide.
You never got you to me tonight. Chase Young,
let's go.
Let's go.
I'm not losing.
Daniel Jones with a touchdown.
Unbelievable.
That's something I've been dreaming about my whole life.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Truist. Week 2 begins tonight, an NFC East showdown between the Giants and the football team. A live report from Washington is a minute away. We've got a packed house here as well, and plenty to get to. Keyshawn Johnson is here. You see Marcus Spears there in the screen. Dan Orlovsky is welcoming. Later, you'll hear from Aaron Rodgers, who spoke earlier today. But first, let's get all the latest news from around the league. Adam Schefter, start us off with DeMarcus Lawrence.
Well, all right, Laura, he underwent foot surgery this morning that's now expected to sideline him 6 to 8 weeks. So he's out into November at the very least right now. The Dallas Cowboys lose their best pass rusher. Their second best pass rusher, Randy Gregory, remains on the COVID-19 list. So they have issues heading into Sunday's game against the high-powered Los Angeles Chargers and their superstar quarterback, Justin Herbert. Meanwhile, tonight, Saquon Barkley listed as questionable, but the expectation is that he will play. It could be a similar workload to Sunday when he opened the season against Denver with 10 carries. Wasn't involved a whole lot. They want to be careful with him coming off the torn ACL, but he is expected to be out there, barring any sort of setback. Evan Ingram also out for the New York Giants. And the Washington football team will start Taylor Heinicke at quarterback in place of the injured Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's now on IR with that hip injury that's expected to sideline him 6 to 8 weeks. And just think about this for a moment, Laura. Someone's going to lose tonight, and whoever does, that team and that quarterback is going to be 0-2 this season, and the questions are going to increase about what that team's doing, whether it's in New York with Daniel Jones, in Washington with Taylor Heinicke, would Washington call Cam Newton? Up to date, they have been not inclined to do that. We'll see if anything changes depending on what happens tonight against the Giants.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Adam. We will pick this game a little bit later on in the show as well, so find out what these guys think. One of the picks may surprise you a little bit. Let's go to Kimberly Martin. She's at FedEx Field in front of tonight's game. Kimberly, Washington changing quarterbacks again, as we just heard from Adam. For a lot of teams, this would spell doom, but for this football team, it's sort of business as usual, right? How are they feeling about their situation right now?
Laura, before we talk about the QBs, I got to talk about my lovely surroundings. As you can see, I'm not on the field. I'm inside FedEx Field because there's lightning in the area, so we got kicked off the field. There was rain, in the D.C. area. It's expected to clear out by kickoff, so we should be good there. Now, let's get to the game. Taylor Heinicke, he's fired up. In fact, he broke down the huddle on Tuesday, and when I asked him, what did you tell the teammates? He was like, I probably can't repeat that, but I'll just say that I want these guys fired up because this is prime time, this is a divisional opponent, and it's the Giants, so let's go, right? Now, you gotta understand who Taylor Heinicke is. He's a guy who's told me, I've been doubted my whole life. People tell me I'm too short, too small, I don't have a good enough arm, but I like proving people wrong, and I like proving people who believe in me right. Now, one of those people is head coach Ron Rivera, but all he wants to see Taylor Heinicke do tonight is just control the flow. Don't do anything extra. Don't think you have to make every play. Just play smart, because we know you're a gamer. And Laura, these guys believe in him. When I was on the phone with Taylor Heinicke, his teammates were yelling his name in the background, and he laughed and he said, yeah, they got some confidence in me, but I just want to show them that I was thrown into the fire last year in the playoffs, and tonight that the backup quarterback can move the ball downfield a little bit.
Kimberly, try to stay dry in there. We'll have you later on in the show as well to update us on the weather and much more from the Giants' perspective. Thank you so much for being with us. And Heinicke may be listed as a backup, but he's actually played well compared to the rest of Washington's quarterbacks since the start of last season. Look at this. While he's only played in 3 games, including his playoff start, Heinicke has posted a higher QBR, better touchdown to interception ratio, has averaged a full yard more per pass attempt compared to Washington's other 4 quarterbacks over the last year. Some of that's about who you're comparing him to, but still, maybe a good sign. Dan, is there really a difference with Heinicke at quarterback?
No, but I'm going to do to my eyes what Kimberly did with the color.
Oh,
I'm gonna
beautiful,
do that,
right? Yeah, maybe you would go with a little bit of. I was very confused what you were talking about there. Yeah,
I think it's a somewhat lateral move between Fitzy and Taylor Heinicke. I don't think there's going to be a significant drop off. Two things stand out. One, the athleticism Heinicke's going to be able to run around and make some plays. He's a super aggressive mindset guy, so he's going to push the ball downfield and try to create some stuff for his offense. That is very similar to the style of play that Ryan Fitzpatrick has always been about, right? Run around, create, kind of the backyard football field. Loves to throw the ball to Logan Thomas, specifically down in the red zone. There's a great level of trust there. Two things that I do want to see stand out for this offense tonight. Remember that Terry McLaurin plays on your football team. Mm. Last week, only four targets. He caught all four, right? So let's throw the ball to Terry McLaurin more. Number two, I want to see Scott Turner, the play caller for the Washington football team, use their tailback, Antonio Gibson, the same way he used Christian McCaffrey. I'm not saying they're the same player, but Antonio Gibson has got to have more than three catches. Mm. He's that kind of dynamic weapon. I want to see double the catches for him. So there will be a good performance by the quarterback. Get the ball to McLaurin more and utilize Antonio Gibson in the pass game more.
You know, Key, you've actually spoken to Ron Rivera multiple times recently on your radio show. What has he told you that you think plays into tonight?
Well, a little bit of it is what Dan is saying. Ryan Fitzpatrick is what they like at quarterback because he believes in a certain style in which he wants to play. Ryan's not there. Heineke is, like Dan said, kind of the same guy, right? The difference is he won't turn the ball over as of right now, much like Fitzy would. So what you want to do is you want to play strong defense. You want to try to touch the ball as much as you can in a run game, but you don't want to give the ball to the other team. And the receivers have got to buy in, which I believe they have, because they're not going to get the touches. Okay, you mentioned four catches.
Right. Not enough. McLaurin,
but he's not going to get the football in the style in which they want to play. And I think that Ron Rivera has told us many times that he believes that is a recipe for success in the National Football League. You don't have to have Aaron Rodgers to win a Super Bowl. Hmm. You do not have to have Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl. It's good. It's a luxury. But as long as that quarterback in that style does what he's asking him to do, you can get there and take care of business.
I think Key just put Washington in the Super Bowl. But
no, I didn't. I didn't do that.
Sorry,
Key. I'm just saying what he told me.
From the defensive side, from the Giants' perspective, Marcus, when you think about a new quarterback in there, even though he's had some experience, yeah, what should the Giants do to approach this from their side?
One of the key points, L Boogie, is to keep Taylor Heineke in the pocket, mm-hmm, and force him to beat you by throwing the football. Don't allow him to be the athlete. Look, the excitement behind Taylor Heineke is the fact that he can get outside of the pocket and create. And he can do things on the move like we see a lot of other quarterbacks do. That's when he's most effective. So this New York Giants defense needs to play really vanilla, to be honest with you. This defensive line needs to be on the same page. They need to make sure that this – look, find out if he can beat you that way, okay? Because here's the deal with Taylor Heineke. He's played, but he's played when quarterbacks have went down. So a week of preparation was not geared towards his skill set and his talent. And I look, as a defensive guy, Dan and Key have heard me say this, and you too, L Boogie. It is so difficult to get ready for a second string quarterback that's athletic when something like that happens in the game. It really does catch your defense off guard. You don't know what to expect. But now that the Giants have had a week of preparation and they understand how athletic Taylor can be outside of the pocket, that is the thing that I think should be first and foremost by Graham, the defensive coordinator, is to make sure this guy, if they beat us, it's going to be because Taylor Heineke took five-step drops, three-step drops, and was able to deliver the ball to McLaurin. He was able to deliver the ball to Logan Thomas, and the run game got us. Don't allow this dude to get out here and run around and make improvisational plays, because that's the quickest way to your defeat. You already got your hands full with this Washington football team defense.
Well, it's Thursday, and we disagree, because I think the Giants actually need to try to confuse Taylor Heineke. He's thrown 136 passes in his career. And I think one of their advantages is to try to change the picture on him, to try to show him something one play or one snap and flip it up. Okay, so 3rd and 8 against Teddy Bridgewater, who's played thousands of snaps. That little target represents a safety who's in the middle field that you can't see on screen. Four defensive linemen at the line of scrimmage. All right, the Broncos are in a 6-man protection, 5 guys up front and the tailback. When you put those guys up in the line of scrimmage with the defensive linemen and the two linebackers, Marcus, you notice, you got to go one-on-ones now. Now I'm going to take that linebacker safety who's up in the line, and at the snap, I'm going to pop him out. So I've given you a little bit different look at the line of scrimmage. Now the corner at the bottom of the screen, he's going to roll to a half-field safety, up top squats, and the middle linebacker becomes a Tampa 2 run-through guy. That safety that was the target, he's rolled over the top to the top left of the screen. Now Teddy Bridgewater's looking to know if it, like, oh, I want to throw that out route. It was single high, but you change the picture and it's too high. I can't throw it there with all those one-on-ones. Here comes that internal pressure. I got to snap my eyes back to number three and find a completion. But guess what? It's 3rd and 8. You confuse me and I'm a blink late and now you get off the field. I think the more that they can show a picture of, hey, we're in single high defense, now we spin it to two high, or we're in two high and we spin down to one high. Again, Teddy Bridgewater was just not confused, but hesitated for a second there, and he's played thousands of snaps. Taylor Heineke's thrown 136 passes. If the Giants want to win this game, it's got to be because their defense and Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, creates some confusion and maybe gets a turnover or maybe gets the quarterback to just hold for a second in that rush. And Marcus, my question for you is, as a defensive lineman, when you're doing that kind of confusion-based defense and you don't want to let the quarterback out of the pocket, what's the number one thing you guys have to do to make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, well, what I'm telling, first of all, you are exactly right about the confusion part. You tell your defensive ends, don't get higher than the quarterback. All right, don't allow this guy to duck under you if we don't have interior pressure where he can skate out and make a play downfield. Because to your point, Dio, and this is why I went. Once a quarterback breaks contain, there is no longer a disguise. It's backyard football.
Good point.
So I want to live in the area where Taylor Heineke has to diagnose and dissect standing in the middle of all of that traffic. So, look, y'all hear me say it all the time. Two things can be true. Yes, absolutely disguise him, but don't disguise yourself, okay? Don't let this dude out of the pocket because that's where his comfort zone is. So to your point, D-line, be on the line, and on the back end, let's confuse him. Don't allow him to play backyard football, though.
All right, so Dan is now writing down your note that you just said there so he can steal that. Also apparently wanting to steal Kimberly Martin's look. We're going to get an eyeshadow palette for
you
next week. Get a lot of action going on there for Dan. He's going to really pop those eyes out.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, the last time the Bills and Dolphins met in Week 17, Buffalo dominated, winning by 30 points. The loss essentially ended Miami's playoff hopes. As for Josh Allen, as we talk about the Bills, he's looking for a bounce-back game after struggling in Week 1 against the Steelers, ranking near the bottom of the league in both completion percentage and yards per attempt. ESPN's Football Power Index expects this to be a close one, though, given Buffalo the slight edge, favoring them by 50.2%. Yeah, that close. That's really close. Let's focus on the Bills' side of this matchup. Keith, how confident are you in Josh Allen moving forward?
I think I'm confident in moving forward that he'll continue to get better, but I'm not one of those guys that is a prisoner of the moment based on last year's MVP statistics and things of that nature. I know a lot of guys are. Now, Pittsburgh rolled into town.
Who are you talking about?
Well, that would be my guy. He struggled last week against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh will make most people struggle. That's just what they do defensively. They confuse you, they're sound, they play a certain style, and you know what you're going to get. I'm expecting Josh Allen to possibly bounce back, but I am not going to be one of those guys jumping on the table week after week thinking that, okay, we're going to see the same consistent guy that we saw a year ago, because there was a lot of inconsistencies prior to last year.
Okay, Marcus, when you watch this game at 1 Eastern on Sunday, Dan's getting revved up over there. What is something that this Bills offense could do right away to make this thing roll a little bit more like it was last season?
Yeah, you gotta take the underneaths if you're Josh Allen, and then you gotta hit the big play when it's available. Listen, he can play at a high level. I believe he's gonna play at a high level, but he has sort of a point when you start talking about complacency. That's what the Bills have to avoid. You see here this play, he hitches three times. He doesn't want to do it, and then he just, I'm gonna get it underneath. Do it faster. Give your guy time to get it done. And then when these opportunities present themselves, you gotta hit them. He hit most of them last year. He hit a majority of them to Stephon Diggs. But Emmanuel Sanders is behind the defense, and Josh Allen is expected for $258 million to make that play, and he knows it. And when we talk about these quarterbacks as far as elite, and we talk about them continuing to ascend, last year was phenomenal. The Buffalo Bills rewarded him. The fans should be excited. He can play at that level. But Josh Allen, now he's in a maturation process where defenses aren't going to give you those opportunities a lot like they gave them to you last year. They're going to double and bracket Stephon Diggs and make you beat them another way. But you also have to understand, get that rock out of your hand quick, man. Everything is not a home run. I hear Dan say it all the time. Hit some singles, hit some doubles, and then when the home run is there, take your opportunity and make the play. That's what Josh Allen is going to have to defend against this year.
Yeah, bro, this is what I'm looking at for this football game. Do the Buffalo Bills offensively go in with two game plans? No, because they're playing a Miami Dolphins defense that is one of the highest usage of man coverage in the NFL. And you don't match up. That plays into the Bills' strength when you play against man coverage. Diggs versus man, Beasley versus man, Gabriel Davis versus man. So do the Bills anticipate, all right, we're going to get a ton of man coverage, or do the Dolphins kind of break tendency like the Steelers did last week and played a ton of zone? Are the Bills going to go, you know what, instead of being who we are, let's kind of be the New England Patriot, Brian Flores comes from them, game plan specific defense, understanding while we got two great corners and we paid them a ton of money, we're going to play into the offensive strength if we play man coverage. So we're going to play a ton of zone defense, and it's going to be interesting to see if the Bills go in with the playbook and ready for both situations, because if they don't, you're going to, last year when these two teams played the first time, because Josh didn't play the second time, it was man by Miami's defense, and it was fireworks by the Bills offense. And it'll be interesting to see if the Bills are prepared for potentially both situations and what the Dolphins choose to do defensively.
You know, just to drive that point home a little bit more, Josh Allen posted the lowest QBR of any quarterback against zone coverage in week one. Nope. So that's the way to do it, right? Marcus, quick.
Yeah, listen, this too, y'all get tired of me saying it, you better run people out of shell coverage. Like, the Buffalo Bills better be able to put the ball in their running back's hands and make people start bringing people into the box.
Yeah.
You have to do it. That's what Kansas City answer has been, and now you see things opening up for them when they hit an Elair underneath. Buffalo about to find a run game when these situations play out like this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Brady, who's ageless. He continues to play at a high level, scoffing in the face of anyone who expects anything less. Last Thursday against the Cowboys, more of the same for Brady, and apparently he's planning on doing this for another decade or so. Listen to this with Gronk.
Can Tom Brady play until 50 years old?
Wow. Seems to be a really hot question lately. Can Tom Brady play till 50? Like 50 years old?
Yeah. 50.
50.
You're 44. That's six more years.
I don't find it so difficult. And plus, in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state. So I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
He's just trolling people at this point. Here's the thing, though. Anybody know where we could get some of those glasses?
I've got a pair in my bag.
Fire.
I was kind of impressed by Gronk's math. 50 minus 44. You got pretty good.
I'm going to stay out of that.
What?
Can he play to 50? Absolutely.
Really?
I'm going to 100%.
Like, you would put money on that.
I'll put money on he can play another 6 years. He's 44, right? Yeah, yes. Number 6 years.
That was all.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. Just making sure.
He's not playing until he's 50. Come on.
He can.
I'm not even talking to y'all about this. Oh. What we got next? What's next?
Marcus, you don't think you can play another 6 years?
No.
Why
no? No, not at all.
As long as he stays healthy,
no one thought he was playing this long, though.
Six more NFL seasons.
As long as that dude stay healthy and he take
y'all
care of his body, I think he can.
Play six more NFL seasons.
Dan, are you
say it at Super Bowl level. I said,
but why would he want to do it if he's not going to be at Super Bowl level?
This is what I know. This is what I know. If he does, I'm going to be breaking down his plays. So,
Dan, you're going to be 50 by that point, too. All right, let's get to Cowboys. Losers to Brady and the Bucs in week one, right, despite lots of positives. But since, the hits have kept on coming. More, the latest, DeMarcus Lawrence with a broken foot yesterday in practice. Let's hear from Mike McCarthy, the head coach. He spoke about this earlier today.
Obviously, you know, losing DeMarcus, I mean, he's a primetime player for us. I thought he had a nice start in Tampa. And, you know, you hate to see these injuries to any of your guys, but, you know, what it does, it just gives, you know, opportunities to the other players. So, you know, how we spread that out, that'll be done through game plan, and we'll work on that today, tomorrow, and Saturday. So, and, you know, specifically, you know, we'll get into that once we play the game.
Ah, brutal. Lawrence's injury, just the latest in a string of bad news for Dallas, as I mentioned. Since losing to the Bucs last week, Cowboys offensive tackle Lael Collins suspended 5 games. Randy Gregory placed in the COVID list. Michael Gallup placed on injured reserve. Now Lawrence expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot. They do get Zach Martin back, but I mean, Marcus, I hate to do this to you because Philly, he's so sad. You were already upset about this yesterday, but specifically as it relates to Lawrence, how does that affect this team?
Okay.
I knew he was going to do the long pause.
too many things. It's too many things happening. But let me get to DeMarcus Lawrence. First of all, your best defensive player. That's enough said. But let me go further. How you game plan, how you scheme to play a team is a lot predicated on who you have, especially when you have a premier guy like this. And look, people forget about Tank because last year he was injured. And last year was abysmal for the Dallas Cowboys, but he is a game wrecker in the pass and in the run. He defends the run very stoutly, and he gets to the quarterback. Here's the issue I have now, though, is that if you aren't generating pressure on third down when you decide to rush for, is it going to make Dan Quinn want to blitz more, which makes you susceptible to big plays based on what you have on the back end? Or do you move Micah Parsons to rush from the outside on third down situations? We've seen it before. So you compromise, obviously, with DeMarcus Lawrence being out. But do you have to remove a really good coverage linebacker in Micah Parsons to the outside so you can generate pass rush? Or do you blitz? Do you try to bring pressure? Dan Quinn has his work cut out for him. Everybody is not the same. When I was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, if I would have been out, they would have replaced me. We'd have been fine. But if DeMarcus Ware would have got hurt, we would have had to change some things about what we did defensively. Listen, y'all, I'm not mistaken about who I am as a football player. DeMarcus Ware would have been injured. We would have had to change what we did from a defensive perspective and how we were going to play the game.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's where Tank has the Dallas Cowboys right now.
With this injury, you mentioned getting a third and long situation, passing situations. I don't even think they can get to those without DeMarcus Lawrence. I think a team like the Chargers can go first down, second down, first down, and not really have to worry about it. You know, everyone continues to mention Dan Quinn in this defense. Well, losing DeMarcus Lawrence is like losing Michael Bennett back in the, you know, the days of the Seattle Seahawks. That's how good DeMarcus Lawrence is as a player. So if you're the Chargers and looking at this situation now, going into this game with DeMarcus, they had to figure out, all right, what are we going to do about DeMarcus Lawrence? Even in our run game, do we have to double team him all the time? Are we always going to send extra bodies his way? And then the pass game, it was, do we feel good about singling up our guys in pass protection? Because this is a Chargers offensive line that, you know, for the most part, held its own against a better defensive line.
They did well, yeah.
In Washington week one. So the Chargers.
We'll get to that.
The Chargers, they don't have a single person now this week on the Cowboys defense that they fear.
Yeah. Marcus Lawrence out.
But there's no red dot guy.
Does it put more pressure on the offense now, Key, for the Cowboys to score more points, especially in this specific matchup when they're going up against, on the other side, an offense that can also score?
It really does, Laura. And they've got to kind of become a little more balanced. You cannot – the strength of the Cowboys right now is a passing game. We saw it against the Buccaneers. They threw the ball all over the lot. They cannot do that. Ezekiel Elliott can't touch the ball a total of 13 times, and you expect to get some hay against the Chargers. The Chargers gave up 133 yards in the air. So we know the strength of their defense. Bosa pinning his ears back, the secondary doing what they're supposed to do. Ezekiel Elliott has to get going, though. He can't just touch the ball 11 times. As an offense, you can't get offensive coordinator, you can't get frustrated with him, take him out of the game, put in Pollard. Yes, Pollard's a good back, but you're taking touches away from the main back that you gave all the money to.
Get him in rhythm, too. Listen, despite all the issues for the Cowboys, though, Dallas is still the heavy favorite to win the NFC East, according to ESPN's Football Power Index. What are you doing, Eagles flying over there with your Eagles pants, Dan? Oh, my goodness.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This from our Eagles reporter Tim McManus. Jason Kelce's new hair. The result of a lost bet with Zach Ertz. Kelce thought Ertz was going to be traded before the start of the season. Kelce said this is a bet he's glad he lost. And Marcus, he looks like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives Guy Fieri or something. What do you got on that?
He really does.
Yes, he does. He's channeling his inner guy. You know why? Because Guy signed the 3-year, $80 million deal with Food Network.
Filthy.
I need to dye my hair blonde and keep my beard black, too.
Hey, I was going to say, we could just dye your beard blonde. Vote on Twitter for that. See if anybody wants to do that.
Ooh, I'll pay for that.
Monday Night Football returns as Jared Goff and the Lions in Week 2 take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Lambeau. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, ESPN app. ESPN 2 has Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli Manning. A big stage for Aaron Rodgers on Monday night, and he spoke to the media earlier today.
Like, I'm not going to make it bigger than it was, and I'll let you guys in the outside world do that. But look, we've won a lot of games around here. We've lost a few, but you move on. You know, it doesn't matter if you play incredible and put up 50 or you get blown out. You move on to the next opponent. There shouldn't be some big drastic change and alteration the way that we do things, the way we practice, the way we prepare. If it's good enough to get you to this point, then it's good enough from this point forward. So I haven't changed any of the stuff that I've been doing. Obviously, you know, we got to play better. But if we're starting to freak out after 1 week, we're in big trouble.
Aaron Rodgers all zen now. Adam, Rodgers and the Packers trying to avoid 0-2. You'll be there Monday night. What are you watching for?
Listen, there aren't many times that Aaron Rodgers has lost a game under the head coach, Matt LaFleur, there in Green Bay. But when it's happened, if you look at how he's bounced back the next week, he's 6-0 after losses under Matt LaFleur. And in those games, he's thrown 16 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions. So, R-E-L-A-X for now.
Week 2 begins tonight, just a few hours away from Giants at Washington. Daniel Jones has never lost to Washington, by the way. Remember, when Washington safety Landon Collins, formerly in New York, questioned his Giants team for taking Jones as early as they did? Landon Collins looking like himself after he was tearing his Achilles last year. They're actually taking the tarp off the field right now behind Kimberly Martin as she's back with us at FedEx Field in front of tonight's game. Kimberly, I think they did that for you. No one in New York can feel great after last week, right? But if you look at the numbers, there is some hope for Daniel Jones and company tonight. Why is that?
Yeah, Laura, it might shock some people, but Daniel Jones is actually 4-0 against this Washington team. And now that is going to give the Giants a lot of confidence coming into today. Like you mentioned, they've got to bounce back against that loss to the Denver Broncos. But when I spoke to Joe Judge, he said, my meetings, they're always the same. It's not a funeral. and it's not a pep rally, regardless of the outcome. So we're very confident in Daniel. We understand the identity of this team has to be smart, fundamentally sound, and that's what we'll be. But it will take some weeks, 2, 3, 4 weeks before they figure out schematically what they'll be with the pieces they have. And one piece they hope to have tonight is Saquon Barkley. He's questionable, but is expected to play. Judge said, we're going to look at him pregame, but I don't expect any setbacks. So we expect to see Barkley.
Yeah, the good thing they had the tarp down on the field there, obviously, if they do see Barkley in action, hopefully the field doesn't factor in if it were possibly wet. Thanks so much, Kimberly Martin, for joining us here. All the latest there from tonight's game. And hey, Giants coaching legend Bill Parcells actually weighed in on Daniel Jones this week. Here's what he said.
I think the Giants offensively, one of the issues, you know, they drafted this Tony, number one. He's supposed to be their slot. The tight end isn't playing. They've got to get something that's a little easier for Daniel Jones on the inside. And unless they get that, it's going to be problematic because you have to have a few things where the ball can get out quickly. And those inside receivers are usually part of the keys to that.
Exclusive interview on KJM there. Thanks for that, Keyshawn. However fair or unfair, Adam, it is to judge Daniel Jones in this situation, that is exactly what the Giants have to do this season. So what is the future for Jones and this Giants football team if they lose tonight?
Laura, if they lose, the Giants will continue to stand by Daniel Jones, but the questions will continue to multiply. It's just the way that the football world works right now. But everybody in the Giants organization, from the day that they picked him, has been behind him, and they've never wavered in their support for him. But if this team falls to 0-2 tonight, and if Daniel Jones falls to 0-6 in primetime games, and right now he carries an 0-5 record into this game tonight, then you could just imagine the questions that are going to come in New York for 10 days coming off another loss when they'll have lost their opening game at home against Denver in a Thursday night game against Washington, a team he has not lost to before. And as we said at the top of the show, the team that loses tonight, whichever quarterback it is, that quarterback, that team, they're going to face more questions for 10 days about starting 0-2.
Yeah, Adam, you mentioned off the top of the show, does Cam Newton end up landing somewhere depending on how these quarterbacks perform tonight? Great stuff from Adam. Dan, what do you think of where this Giants offense is?
Oh, gosh.
Boring.
What's the definition of insanity?
Isn't what is it? Doing the same thing over and over again, regardless of the outcome?
That's the Giants' offense.
Oh, goodness.
The Giants have the most antiquated and worst offensive scheme in the NFL. I love watching tape. I hate watching the Giants on tape. Three things that bother me the most about their offense. There's no why in what. There's no why we're doing things. What are we doing? I don't know. We're just throwing things against the wall, and hopefully they work. My second thing is, and you just heard Coach Parcells say it, they've got to find things that are easier. There is not a single moment on the Giants tape when something happens and I point to it and said that player had success because of the coach. Like the player you look at and go, the coach really helped him have success in that moment. It doesn't show up on their tape. And then there's never a moment when I don't know where Daniel Jones is going to be. Daniel Jones, Giants fans, watch it tonight. Washington team, watch it tonight. Daniel Jones will be six yards behind the center every play. He's going to be 6 yards behind the center every play. They don't move him behind the B gap. They don't move him outside the pocket. They don't play action in the C gap. He's at the same spot all the time. We've all heard the saying, there's coaches who put their players in positions to be successful. The Giants have coaches who put their players in position. That's it. They just get them lined up. Then it's up to them to go execute. Mm.
Dio, do I need to yield my time to you so you can keep going?
No, I'm
get
back.
In here. I think he's done.
Back in.
Go ahead, Marcus.
This
dude,
is not the time
me,
to
man.
Not
it
know
stinks.
Your identity. I know it. I know it, bro. I feel you. You saw me talking about the Titans defense the other day. Just don't understand it. Some stuff just unexplainable. Here's the deal with the New York Giants, though. This Washington football team defensive front, they about to have a field day.
Yeah.
They are about to have an absolute field day. And a part of this is because we know that this offensive line is porous. But the big part of it is what Dan just explained. Jason Garrett will not be creative. He won't move this pocket. He won't have jet sweep motion. He won't run any screens to slow these guys down. That's going to pin their ears back. With Saquon Barkley, of all people, to try to get him in space so he can create and make plays. I'm saying he won't, y'all, because he ain't been that. I was with Jason Garrett. He's been blessed with to have a lot of players, a lot of talent. And I'm not saying he's incompetent as an offensive coordinator. He does some nice things. But I don't think he realizes how much he needs to help his quarterback. He keeps thinking that he's going to at some point figure it out. It ain't coming if you don't let this dude be athletic.
Well, I think, one, you got to look at the wide receiver position and tight end spot. The inside part of what Jason Garrett likes to do offensively isn't quite there for them. And if you don't have what you need, your principles go right out the window. And I don't think he has any answers to that. You figure Shepard would be the guy there. It hasn't panned out. But inside, slide him inside and let him go to work. Because in short yardage situations, the ball has to come out quick. You can't have Daniel Jones dropping back and the ball's being thrown in the dirt to other people, things of that nature. It's got to come out much faster. You know that, Dan. Then Evan Engram, he hasn't been at the party. He's hurt, so he's not there. So when you look at it, Saquon Barkley is coming back slowly but surely. And when you are a quarterback and you don't have a consistent running game behind you, and Sam Darnold had to get Christian McCaffrey. Look how that helped him out last week. He needs those type of things. Jason Garrett is going to be run, run, pass, kick, yeah. Punt. That's just who he is.
But their offensive scheme stinks. I mean, it stinks.
I do think Galladay might end up being a little bit better than what he looked like week one. Let's do one more thing before we go, because we have to pick this game. And listen, it's kind of obvious that some of us are leaning toward Washington. You'll see it on your screen here in just a moment, because Marcus Spears is picking the Washington football team. Dan Orlovsky is picking the Washington football team. Laura Rutledge is picking the Washington football team. But Keyshawn is going with the Giants.
You're tripping, bro.
Come on, Key. What do you got?
27-17. How am I tripping?
Yo, if the Giants score 27 on the Washington defense,
Washington defense let Justin Herbert carve him up 13 for 16 on third down. Yeah. And then on top of that, 12 of them went for first downs. All I need Daniel Jones to do half of that.
I'm glad we out of time.
What are you going to do?
I'm glad we out of time.
I'm calling you during the game, Marcus.
Ew.
If they score 27,
I'm not allowing you to eat raw eggs. You have to pick something different. All right, Key, if you're right, we're going to tell you about it, okay? But if you're wrong, we'll also tell you
I'll be on the show tomorrow. How about that?